You are very welcome to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits, kindly sponsored by Michael Gleeson Shoes. You can check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Tonight on the show, myself and Jane Dowling take a look forward to what's going to be a cracking weekend of football. We are finally at final stage, I guess, semi-finals. But before we talk all about that, we've got to chat last weekend. Shane, there's no denying that you came into the studio tonight with a massive smile plastered across your face.
Yeah, and it's been on there for the last week, and it'll be there for the next 7 days too, Louise, and up till Sunday week. So listen, brilliant weekend, incredible for Limerick to get back into the final, and indeed for Waterford. I've been very impressed with them all year. So don't forget, the first time ever in the history of the GAA, Limerick play Waterford in an All-Ireland final, and what a game it's going to be. Just a pity that people can't be there to witness it.
It's going to be unreal. Like, I've got to ask, was there a massive difference this year to 2018 for yourself? Obviously you weren't on the pitch, but you're seeing all your teammates and your really good pals progressing to another All-Ireland in the space of 2 years.
Yeah, and I suppose I didn't have the same nerves or butterflies that I would usually have, but I was more nervous for them. Like, obviously some of my best friends were in that dressing room and very friendly with a lot of them, and so it was different. But as I said, more nervous for them, and just hoping that they'd come out on the right side of the result. Obviously with Shane O'Neill and John Fitzgerald in the Galway camp too, so it was a strange weekend, but got the result that we wanted, thankfully.
Look, yourself, myself and hundreds of thousands of other people across the country aren't going to be able to watch the games live in Croke Park. There's going to be no tobacco over tickets or anything like that. How do you feel about the fact you're not going to be there in person?
It's going to be strange. It's going to be hard too, Louise. I think we all want to be there, and you feel more a part of it. I suppose especially for me, it's my first year not being there, so not even being a part of number one and not being able to get to the game number two is very difficult. But I think people are trying their best. A lot of people putting up flags across both counties.
We've got so much coming up on tonight's show. Look, we've got to park the hurling for now. We will of course talk hurling in the coming weeks, but it's football this weekend and it's the semi-finals, massive games. I asked you during the week to track down a man who was super excited about the games, and I don't know who fangirled more, you or him. Tell us what we can expect.
You're always giving me jobs, Louise, actually. But anyway, I came off Trumps this week and I was delighted to get out and reach out to Pat Short. Great Tipperary man, all around character. I've always enjoyed his company. And for anybody that wants to look up the extended chat, they can go on to any of the Classic Hits social media. This is just a short clip of his thoughts on the upcoming game this weekend.
Yeah, it's been different. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I think it's a huge relief that fact that it's actually gone ahead. It's absolutely thrown up some amazing games, which is the other thing as well. And the knockout, bringing back the kind of knockout stages to it, put a different kind of slant on it as well. So it's kind of, I think it's a bit of a shock to see some of the big guns get knocked out early in both football and hurling.
Pat, obviously being a staunch Tipperaryman that you are, like, it is a totally different ball game for you this year. Usually your hurlers will be in Croke Park, but not this year, it is your footballers. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, who'd have thought it? But I'm not hugely surprised. To give you a bit of background on that, I'm from North Tipperary, obviously, Curtis, and it would be a huge hurling area. So I wouldn't have that much kind of interest in football. But funny enough, this team I've been watching for years because my nephew played with them. He was with my Rovers down in Clonmel. And he played in the under-21 team when they were playing as well. So I was kind of watching them all the way up along. You know, Declan Brown was training them at one stage as well, and he's one of the best footballers of all time.
One of the greats, yeah.
You know, you had him in the background, you had some really good players, and then it all got kind of, there was a bit of upset a couple of years ago when, I'm desperate with names now, but that player went to Sydney, and Watchcall went to Canada. Two of them went to Canada the same year as well. There wouldn't have been a very strong panel, but the players that we had were very, very good. Like, I remember that game against Mayo when, in the first half and the second half, Tipperary kept them scoreless for 20 minutes. I think Twinney was sent off, and we really didn't have a panel, so anyone to replace him. And Mayo had about 10 minutes of brilliance, and they destroyed us. And if you think that's a great team now, they're much more confident, much better team, and having your man back from Sydney as well gives them, you know, you've got someone else to feed the ball into the two guys up the front, Quinlivan and Three, who are fantastic, and Bill Maher as well. So I don't think we have any fear of Mayo. If that Tipperary team turn up next weekend, you could have a cracking match.
We may as well ask you, we've been doing with all our guests, who do you see winning the Liam McCarthy and who do you see taking home Sam Maguire?
Sam Maguire, I think, is easy enough Dublin, no question of it. But I also think Limerick, I really do, I've been saying it a long time. I mean, we won the All-Ireland last year, and I don't know what happened to Limerick in the semi-final, but I was delighted to meet Kilkenny last year and not Limerick, because I think very strong, fantastic. I definitely put Limerick down for the...
Jesus, Pat would have to build up water for the small, but we give Limerick a break.
So they love their county. They love their county down there.
That was the legend that is Pat Short. What an absolute hero for joining us on the show. And as Shane said, you can check out the extended chat, a full Zoom interview, check out the jersey he's wearing and everything over on our social media channels at Classic Hits Radio. Now, Shane, so much coming up after the break. What are we looking forward to?
Yes, we've the two men's All-Ireland semi-finals this weekend, Louise. Like the first, Tipperary and Mayo. Like, I think that's a very, very close 50-50 game, even though Mayo will be slight favourites, but that's going to be a humdinger. The other game, of course, is Dublin versus Cavan. You know, everyone expecting a romp here from the Dubs, being honest about it. And the last game then is the ladies' football semi-final, and that's involving Cork v Galway. And don't forget that there was a bit of ructions earlier on the week with the game being changed out of the Gaelic Rounds from Limerick back up to Dublin, and we'll speak about that in more detail after the short break.
You are very welcome back to A Different Ball Game on Classic Hits, kindly sponsored by Michael Gleeson Shoes. You can check them out online at michaelgleesonshoes.com. Also, feel free to get in touch with the show tonight. 087 188 0008 is the number you need to text or WhatsApp. Shane, we have got so much to get through. Look, it's Senior Football Championship semi-final weekend. It's going to be a massive one. I just want to mention Tipperary and Cavan. The raw emotion was palpable when these two teams made it this far. They now have the chance to progress even further on their journeys. They're meeting two massive giants of teams in the forms of Mayo and Dublin. The clashes are going to be unbelievable.
The most exciting game of the weekend is definitely going to be Mayo and Tipperary. Like, don't forget these teams met twice over the last 4 years, and we'll come to that very shortly, and we're very lucky to catch up with Tipperary senior footballer and Kilsheelan man who'll be playing this weekend, Bill Maher, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, we're delighted to be playing at Mayo this weekend, having the crack of probably one of the best teams in Ireland over the last 10 years. The only thing that would make it a bit better is, I suppose, having supporters there, family and friends. But we are conscious that us playing, we get to do what we love doing. And I suppose we make the weeks go a bit shorter and the Christmas come a bit quicker for everyone at home. With a bit of luck, we might get another couple of weeks out of it.
Tipperary senior footballer Bill Maher there, hoping they'll get another few weeks out of it, Shane. They're really hoping that they're going to do the business against Mayo.
They are, and I think I don't see any reason why they shouldn't either. Like, you know, from my perspective looking in, while Mayo are going to be slight favourites, I don't think Tipperary should fear them at all. 4 years ago in 2016, like, Mayo won 2-13 to 14 points. There was only 5 points in it, and only 2 years ago they met in a qualifier game where Mayo only pulled away late on 119 to 111. So I think for sure Tipperary definitely aren't going to fear them anyway.
You know, Shane, you talk about underdogs on this show an awful lot, and that boost of going in on a winning streak, like meeting the likes of Mayo, they're a team who've been there or thereabouts for the last number of years. They've never quite made it. No one in the country would begrudge Mayo finally winning Sam. It's been a running joke, but at the same time, could this be the year that Tip say, "It's our chance, lads. Forget Mayo for Sam. This is Tip for Sam"?
I hope not, Louise. And that's no disrespect to Tipperary, you know. Like, and we all love the underdog, and I was delighted they won the Munster final, being honest.
Stop, you're writing them off already.
No, I'm not writing them off, but I'd love to see Mayo win,
shame.
Sam. Like, even if Mayo were to win the All-Ireland, we all would love to everyone to enjoy it responsibly. Like, I find it very hard that the county wouldn't just go absolutely buck ape. And I'm one of them. I'd love to see Mayo win it. The other semi-final is obviously going to be more than likely the Dubs, but for both of these teams now, they're just going to be concentrating getting to an All-Ireland final.
Mayo are going to come in as clear favourites. You know, you've got those massive players on the pitch, the like of Aidan O'Shea, all of these men we've mentioned in the past. But we've seen players on the Tip panel that have really stood out in the championship. You know, Michael Quinlivan, who joined us on the show not so long ago. You've Colin O'Riordan, home from the AFL. Who are Mayo going to put on these players? How are they going to combat those big men and, you know, hope to get the upper hand?
Well, Louise, I actually must say, right, that I actually think Tipperary are a serious, serious football side. Like, they have got quality all over the field. And I'm not just saying that as a throwaway comment or anything like that. I really believe they're a good side. They deserve to be in an All-Ireland semi-final. They're good enough to win an All-Ireland semi-final. I suppose the question is, can they get over the whole everything that went on over the last couple of weeks with the fact that, you know, with Michael Hogan and the 100 years and all that emotion went with it. So if they could park that and actually try and go on and go a bit further, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't.
Do you not think that emotion is going to be a driving force for them?
No, because if you're solely emotionally driven, that will only get you so far. So I hope that they go back and stick to the process that they have.
Whoever really progresses past this stage has a massive hurdle as well in trying to win Sam Maguire, so it's by no means going to be an easy feat for any team.
No, but it was, it'd be a start by getting to the final, and one of them will get to the final this weekend. But for me, I hope it's Mayo.
Oh, well, I'm going to go for a Tip. Again, your Tip mammy isn't going to be happy with you, Shane.
She'll be fine.
Right. The other side of that draw, of course, sees Dublin take on Cavan. Shane, you know, we've mentioned words on the show before, like demolish. And I know you're going to slag me for saying it again. Do you reckon this is going to be a case of Dublin again demolishing an underdog?
It's hard to see otherwise, Louise, isn't it? I'd love to think not. But listen, we'll have just to wait. We'll have to wait and see what happens. But it's hard to see past a Dublin win. But I suppose, you know, for me this weekend has to be about Cavan. And for anybody tuning us in from Cavan tonight, they'll know Mr. Stephen King very, very well. He was the captain of the Cavan team that won the Ulster Championship in 1997. And we caught up with him this week.
Everybody in Cavan, you know, since our victory and winning the Ulster Championship, has put everyone in great humour, great form in different times, I suppose. The sad thing was we probably didn't get to embrace these heroes or, you know, celebrate in any manner. But it created a great bit of chat and a great bit of rapport, and you know, on Sunday evening when they had beaten Donegal, you know, I think every sitting room in Cavan and beyond are up to with joy, and you know, we're in a great place now, and we're sitting at the top table about to play probably the greatest team of our lifetime, you know, both on and off the field. Let me say, I think they're a fantastic bunch, and Dublin are they're up there at the top table for so long. They're 5 in a row, going for 6 in a row. You know, someone will ask you know, where are the matchups or how Cavan can put in matchups. I honestly don't think there's so many that you'd have to get right. There's no point really honing in any one. But I feel that, you know, the starting point will obviously be Cluxton's kickouts, that we push up on them and don't give them a start. And, you know, the more you think about it, when it comes to the Ireland semi-final, and particularly finals, there haven't been runaway victories by this Dublin team. The matches have been close to 3 or 4 points. You would like to think that Cavan would be falling into that bracket. I feel that if Cavan are within touching distance of a couple of points of Dublin at the halfway mark, at half-time, I feel that, you know, Cavan are going to be in a good position and you're going to be in for an enthralling second half.
Well, by God, Louise, I hope Stephen is right and that we are in for an enthralling second half. I hope that Cavan are still in the game with 20 minutes to go.
To be fair to him, like, while he's talking up Cavan there, he also said some, you know, things that were bang on the money. Look, Cavan are going to be playing one of the greatest teams that football has seen. Not only that, like, he said they're the greatest team of his lifetime. So, like, let's be fair here. Like, this Dublin team are a serious outfit.
Thanks, Louise. And the reason I say thanks is because I'm actually kind of getting sick of people going on about the Dubs. And like, while I want Cavan to win, you want Cavan to win, every person in the country bar a Dub wants Cavan to win, I think we should take a moment and appreciate what we have here in the Dubs. And people can have about splitting them in two and this, that and the other thing, and money, the financial backing that they get. We all know it's there, okay? But I think that this Dublin team is phenomenal. What the players that they have, the leaders that they have, the quality that they have is just phenomenal. Right from Stephen Cluxton, number one in goals, to everyone that they have that comes on the pitch, the way they represent their county, the way they represent their jersey, their families, they're incredible at what they do. And I don't think they actually get enough credit for, I suppose, the skill set that they have. They do, but people are giving them credit and then giving out about it at the same time.
So tell me the skill set. What's it that makes them the team of your lifetime? Like, why is it that they're so special?
They just don't have any, they literally don't have any faults, Louise, across every part of their game. Like, they just do not have any faults. They're so clinical, they're so ruthless. And you see with the top teams, like, a team wins 1 year, may win a second year, and then like they get built up and everyone just wants to knock them, and you don't have the same motivation, the same drive. It's hard to reach them levels year on year, time after time. New manager coming in, they'd have excuses there this year if they wanted to use them, but they just don't want to use them. They're an incredible athletes, and I have to take my hats off them. They're really, really good. And
one thing that we know for sure and certain is that they are worth the hype. A man who's been involved with this team since the beginning of their glory days and has gone on to win numerous All-Irelands with them is Alan Brogan, one of the famous Brogan brothers. And I believe, Shane, you caught up with him during the week. He shared his thoughts ahead of this weekend's clash. We know it's going to be a good one. And this is what he had to say.
On Dublin Cavan at the weekend, I suppose it's difficult to see past a Dublin win. Cavan have obviously been fantastic, and along with Tipperary being the story of the year. But I think just with the way Dublin have shaped up over the last game or so, they had a ropey enough first 20 minutes against Laois. But since then, they've been exceptional. Their creativity, their score taking in front of goal. And they look really tuned in against Meath, even if Meath didn't put up the challenge that I thought they might. So I suppose it's difficult to see how Cavan can make any inroads, even though they themselves have shown a great bit of character and a great bit of resilience over the... Look, I suppose Cavan are in bonus territory now, so they have a free shot at the Dub, so they can go up without any pressure, enjoy the occasion. And I'm sure Mickey Graham will put a plan in place to try and compete on on the kickouts, compete around the middle of the field and just see if they can disrupt Dublin a little bit. As I said, it's difficult to see anything other than a comprehensive Dublin win, especially with the likes of Paul Mannion, Brian Howard now coming back into contention. They've good strength and depth off the bench as well now, so I don't foresee a shock at the weekend.
Yeah, fair play to him, Louise. Alan Brogan, he's got more All-Ireland medals than most people around the country. And you know, as you well know, Louise, trying to track the Dubs down could be quite hard. So fair play to Alan Brogan there for giving us his thoughts. And while modest as ever, you know, I think that's the way all the Dublin players are, and that's why they carry so much weight across the county of Dublin. So for me, it's still Dublin all day long.
Look, we have to talk about the game itself, because either way the game has to be played, whether you think the Dubs are going to run away with it or not. We know that Cavan need to produce a full 70-minute performance. There is no room for slacking. How do you think they're going to go into this game?
Well, I think, like, Mickey Graham, the manager of Cavan, like, how many managers have faced the Dubs in the last 6 years and still haven't been able to beat them? So what's he going to do any different? I think they just have to concentrate on themselves. They have obviously got a game plan. They need to execute their game plan to the best possible way they can and see where that leaves them. Like, the Dubs have been used to play one sweeper, two sweepers, 15 sweepers nearly, you know, and they've been able to play with man on man. So they just need to worry about themselves, do what they do best, and see how far that gets them. I think that they can, you know, be somewhat competitive up until the last quarter or whatever. I think that they'll be fairly clued in for this game, whether in their gut actually believe they can win or not in question, but I think they should be able to put up a performance that themselves and indeed the county of Cavan should be proud of.
I'd love to know who you at home are cheering for this weekend, if you're a massive fan of the Dubs, or maybe you're rooting for the men from Cavan. 0871880008 is the number to get in touch with the show. Shane, I'm conscious of time, as every week we're always tight in time at this stage, but we can't go anywhere without mentioning the mighty women that are in action this weekend. The ladies All-Ireland semi-final takes place at Parnell Park. There was a little bit of ruckus over that. We'll come to that shortly, but before we do, we're going to chat to one of the ladies togging out this weekend. Who have we got lined up?
She is one of four O'Sullivan sisters, an incredible athlete, a proud Cork woman, Dearne O'Sullivan.
We're really looking forward to the All-Ireland semi-final this weekend. We're delighted and really happy, I suppose, with the most recent development this week of our whole squad being able to travel to the game. We've 38 girls in our squad, we're really happy that our whole squad and management team, background team, get to travel to the game. I think it's fair. We all put in the same amount of work and time, so we're really happy. I think it's added an extra buzz this week to our preparation. Really looking forward to the game. We've had two tough games so far against Kerry and against Cavan. And we know that the game against Galway this weekend will be another step up. Galway are an exceptional outfit, but it is the mood in a training and the atmosphere in the camp is good. We all know what's at stake, and a place in the All-Ireland final is huge prize. So that's really the motivator and driving us to train extra hard. And I think everybody in Cork is looking forward to the weekend.
The wonderful Dearne O'Sullivan there from Moran Abbey, just outside Mallow in County Cork. Looking forward to a great weekend, and obviously a little upset that her family can't be there. Before we get stuck in, Shane, to chatting all about the game itself and what result we expect, we've got to mention a big talking point in the media this week. The game was initially due to be played in Limerick in the LIT Gaelic grounds, but has since been moved to Parnell Park. Why was this?
Well, because the game was fixed there under terms and conditions, Louise. The LGFA got onto the Limerick County Board. They asked could the game be played in the Gaelic grounds, and they said it could once that the field was free to use, that any of our flagship teams wouldn't need to use it. Our Limerick senior hurlers obviously are in All-Ireland final the following week. For as long as the current management are there, and obviously I know quite well, they've always trained on a Sunday morning, so the pitch isn't available. Why did the LGFA agree to let the game be played there if there was terms and conditions? For me, it made no sense.
Like, can I just ask you, I think it comes back to what you were saying about Cavan, like, all semi-finals should be played in Dublin, in Croke Park. Why is this even on in Parnell Park? Why do the ladies not have the option of heading out on the pitch before one of the men's games this weekend and playing it in Croke Park?
Well, it comes back to our points over the last couple of weeks, Louise. The ladies, footballers and camogie players don't get the same treatment as the men's do. And in my opinion, I could be wrong here, I think that the reason it's not on there is because they don't see it right, or they don't see it fit. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, that would frustrate me. And look, I'm not saying anything against Parnell Park. I'm sure that it's a great venue. And I know the ladies are probably at this stage not even thinking, as you say, about where they're togging out and where they're playing this match. They just want to get the right results. So we do wish them all the best in that. But it does just irk me a little bit that the men stake their claim in Croke Park and the ladies are, you know, told that, well, you can't get Limerick, you can get Parnell Park. And maybe if you can't get there, you can get somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, and for Cork and Galway players, like, I think it's going to be a 10-hour round trip. Like, that is just absolutely crazy. For a player to have to drive that far, it's absolutely shocking, Louise. That's all I can say.
We don't have a lot of time, Shane, but I would love for you to call it. Galway are an incredibly strong team going into this. Of course, Cork have all that history of being winners time and time again. Loads of players on this Cork team have won numerous All-Irelands. How do you see it going as a semi-final?
Yeah, well, I suppose for the people of Galway, or more importantly for the Cailíní of Galway, their Camogie players got into an All-Ireland final last weekend. So it's up to their footballers now to see if they can try and get the double. For me, you know, the Cork ladies footballers, they're a serious, serious outfit. They've obviously won so much, I suppose, over the last decade, and they're obviously going to be trying to continue their success this weekend.
Right, so you're calling Cork on this one?
Cork for this one.
Okay, well, good night, relive Cailíní. As Shane said, we look forward to cheering you on this weekend. Now, we are pretty much out of time on today's show, so as we do every week, we wrap it up with Dowling's quick fire round. Shane, are you ready for this?
Shoot away, Louise.
The player you're watching out for this weekend?
I'm going to pick two Louise this week. Thomas Galligan, Cavan footballer, has been incredible so far, and Tipperary sharpshooter Michael Quinlivan. I'm going to be very interested to see how they get on against top opposition this weekend.
The tactic you're looking out for this weekend?
I think it's going to be very interesting to see whether the Cavan team set up very defensively or whether they go man on man against the Dubs this weekend.
Finally, Shane, the underdog this weekend, or someone that you see potentially causing an upset?
I actually don't think there's any underdog for this weekend. I think everyone that's supposed to win will win.
That is us all out of time on A Different Ball Game. As always, thank you so much for tuning us in. We're back next Friday. In the meantime, get in touch or check out some of our extended chats on our podcast. It's at classichits.ie. Check it out on the website. We would love for you to have a listen. Shane, we're back next week.
Looking forward to it. Take care.